This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Many communities in northwest Indiana along the Lake Michigan shoreline are in crisis. High water levels and strong storms this winter have contributed to shoreline erosion that's threatening private homes, vital infrastructure, and eating away at the beaches. How much of this erosion is natural, and how much have man-made structures contributed? And in the meantime, how are communities most impacted handling the challenges of erosion? If you have questions or comments on our show today, let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail. Call us at 866-476-3881. Just give us your name, where you're calling from, and a quick question or comment. We'll do our best to get it into the conversation today. Again, 866-476-3881. Joining me now is the superintendent of the Dunes, Indiana Dunes National Park, Paul Labovitz. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Matt. How are you?
I'm excellent. Although we know that the shoreline along Lake Michigan's been experiencing a lot of erosion this year. Of course, the Indiana Dunes National Park is up along that shoreline. Can you describe what this erosion looks like?
So, yeah, the lake levels are up to almost our historic high. And so coupled with some really severe storms, almost unseen in the past, have created some problems at different beaches here at Indiana Dunes National Park.
And what kind of problems? What have you seen specifically?
Well, the width of the beach is a lot narrower, and in places where there is man-made infrastructure, that high lake level, large wind and wave events covers houses with ice, erodes away dunes, and threatens to crumble road right-of-ways.
And then what kind of an impact has the erosion had on the park in particular? You've had structures damaged. Is the shoreline being eroded away, eaten up?
Well, so understand that every year storms and lake levels change the way people access beaches here at the National Park. And so we usually watch what's going on in the winter, and then closer to the beach season, we'll start working on safe public access to beaches where there have been changes to that access. We'll probably have a lot more of that work come this May at places like the Portage Lakefront and Central Avenue, in particular in Mount Baldy. What we tell people, though, there's a lot of beach in places here still, even with the high lake levels. Indiana Dunes State Park, our West Beach, our Kemmel Beach. And for folks who have flexibility into what beach they want to enjoy, There'll be plenty of beach here come summertime.
What's a good way to illustrate this? As I understand it, there was a handicap accessible ramp that kind of all but floated away.
Well, yeah. So we have a facility at the Portage Lakefront in Portage, Indiana. And when I first arrived here in 2013, there was a significant amount of beach sand in front of this ramp that provided access to the beach for folks with mobility challenges. And the lake has come up over 5 feet since then, and that structure is now underwater and being battered by waves. And it's a hindsight issue of design. When this facility was built 15-plus years ago, apparently the planners didn't account for the changing lake levels. And with the high lake levels now, the facility is no longer usable and it's been destroyed.
Could that have been something that they could have accounted for then? Was this something that anyone saw coming?
Well, so, again, Monday morning quarterbacking, but the lake levels have been studied for 100-plus years. They come up and down every 30 or so years. And I would say yes, in hindsight, the planners and even the National Park Service, we should have all figured this out and built a more resilient facility to account for the changing lake levels.
What are some of the main culprits causing this erosion?
Well, the high lake levels and severe storms. I mean, we have waves between 10 and 20 feet, which apparently used to be fairly rare, and we've probably had three events since the new year of those kind of waves already this year.
Is this what typical winter conditions look like, or has this year been particularly worse?
It seems it's particularly worse for a couple reasons. One, the severity of the storms, but two, The relatively mild temperatures have prevented the formation of shelf ice, and the shelf ice really builds up on the lake edge and provides a lot of protection to the shoreline with the winter waves. And we've had very little, if any, shelf ice this year. So all that wind and wave action has been hitting, you know, basically bare beach and other structures.
And have we seen the water levels this high before?
Well, I want to say in 1986 they were probably about 3 inches higher than they are right now. So we're very close to the recorded high lake level.
And what's contributing to the high lake level? Is climate change a factor here?
I believe climate change is a factor. I mean, the lake level is simply there's more water going into the lake than's leaving the lake. And evaporation, rainfall, all those inputs and outputs are an equation. And when more is coming in, the lake level goes up. And again, it's cyclic. It's a cyclic in a 30, 60, 150, even 1,500 year cycle, as we've learned. And based on inputs that are, you know, we even learned that sunspots somehow have an effect on lake levels.
Do we have any data that points to any patterns in lake levels over the years, or is that tough to predict what each year is going to bring?
There's an interval of highs and lows, and that's been fairly well studied by the U.S. Army Corps. You can look and find graphs and those water levels by year. It's predictable that the lake will come up and the lake will go down, but how high it goes and how low it goes and what the length of time exactly is between those highs and lows varies, just like everything else in nature. What we don't know is how long the lake will stay up at this high level.
That was going to be my next question. When seasonally, I guess, can we expect to, I guess, in some of those areas, get some beach back at all?
So, again, we're going to have beach. It just might not be a lot of beach depending on the topography of the dune behind it. But, this is a high lake level year, and so the beaches are going to be narrower than they were when the lake was lower. And that, you know, it's what we've learned and what people have characterized. You know, 5 years ago, people said, oh, we had a lot of beach 5 years ago. There was 200 feet of beach. And it turns out that 200 feet of beach is really not that much beach. And we're learning now that maybe a quarter mile or half a mile would be a lot of beach. And we're just not going to see that here in the near term.
What has typical beach maintenance looked like in the past few years?
So, we do not maintain the beaches per se. We may do a little trash pickup on occasion, and we'll clear some driftwood away if it's a public access issue. But it's interesting, though, is one of the solutions to the conditions that we have here in Northwest Indiana, and we all know that the solution to some of this problem is to nourish the beaches by dredging clean sand from the lake bottom and putting it back on the beach. And we just haven't done much of that.
How long has erosion been a concern along the lakeshore?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, how long has erosion occurred on the lakeshore? And I would say it's probably 12,000 years. It's
right.
A natural process. All the dunes here are created and wither away on wind and water. And so that process of dunes building up and eroding away is what makes the national park here a unique place ecologically. We are worried this year, we in the region, as you'll hear from your other guests, that the high lake levels and the proximity of human settlement and development is now in as much conflict as it's ever been.
You talked about dredging and replacing sand as being one of the solutions that has been done, maybe not necessarily there in the park, but when we talk about those possible solutions, are the short-term solutions and the long-term solutions or answers different here?
Well, they're not separate at all. I mean, if we'd have been doing some of the longer-term beach nourishment, even when the lake was lower, we might not be seeing the damages that we're seeing now. So we've sort of missed the boat. And it's been interesting. I've only been here for 6 years, but this conversation happens every 30 years or every 15 years. And everybody knows what the answer is, but nobody actually does it. And then by the time things are mobilized to act, the lake goes back down again, and people say, oh, we're okay now. Let's not do anything.
What about the environmental impacts that the erosion presents to the ecosystems and the species within the park? Are any of those at serious risk?
I would say no. I mean, we're some things that are on the very edge of the lake where the dune is eroding in. At the Portage Lakefront, for example, we have a small group of jack pine that's growing there, and it's kind of a rare tree this far south in the United States, and they're being impacted by the erosion. But no, the species that have evolved on the lake's coast are sort of familiar with this pattern of sand coming and going. So ecologically, no, for plant communities. I think the problem, though, is in disturbed areas where there's erosion of things that are buried, old landfills. You know, who knows what's coming out of some of these dunes and washing into the lake. And so that's, you know, it's a bit of a treasure hunt sometimes when you see, in fact, what is buried in some of these dunes that were used as landfills 100 years ago.
Interesting. What about visitation? We know that warmer weather brings a lot of folks out to the dunes, but people come in the winter as well. Has this erosion impacted your visitation this time of year?
Well, yeah, we're surprised. I mean, this past Friday we had what I thought was the most whipped up I'd ever seen Lake Michigan in my time here. And it almost looked like a summer weekend with the volume of traffic of people just coming down to the lakefront to see the waves and the wind whipping things around. And so, I'll mention the Portage Lakefront. It's one of the most visited spots here in the national park because people can drive down and see the lake and literally not get out of their car if they don't want to. And there's a steady stream of people looking at these waves crashing over breakwaters. And it's, you know, it is spectacular to see that sort of fury of nature all whipped up.
Paul Labovitz.
Our vegetation is pretty much has become more year-round instead of just summer.
Paul Labovitz is superintendent of the Indiana Dunes National Park. Paul, thanks for your time today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Up next, we're going to talk to a local official about the impact the erosion has taken on communities along the lakeshore, and we'd love to hear from you. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana, or leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. I'm Matt Pelser. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. Today we're talking about erosion alongside the Lake Michigan shoreline. As always, we would love your questions and comments on the topic. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or leave us a voicemail, including your first name and where you're calling from at 866-476-3881, and we'll try to get you into the live conversation we're about to have. Again, 866-476-3881. We're joined now by Jeff Benson, the president of Beverly Shores Town Council. Beverly Shores sits right along the lakeshore and has been at the front lines of dealing with the consequences of erosion. Jeff, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Kerry Troy is also with us. He's an associate professor of civil engineering at Purdue University and joins us now as well with more information about the causes and effects of the current erosion. Kerry, thanks for your time.
Great to be here.
Jeff, you're from Beverly Shores, a town right along the shoreline in Porter County. Can you talk about what the conditions were like this past weekend?
Yeah, it was rough. The winds out of the north, anytime that they're straight out of the north, the waves have 330 miles to build up force, and we have no shelf ice whatsoever, so it's taken a direct hit. And what happened on Friday was we had to close Lakefront Road, Lakefront Drive, in both directions west of Broadway, right by the Lakeview parking lot for the national park. And on the east end, we had to close it to only homeowners because the waves were throwing up debris, rocks, ice, logs onto the road. And we were afraid that that was going to get undermined. And so we're trying to reduce the amount of traffic. We've also reduced the weight loads that we allow down there.
I'm curious about the shelf ice. I took a trip up there about 15 years ago at about this time of year. And at the time, the shelf ice was really a sight to behold. It's just they just look like big hills on the lake. And how does that help to mitigate erosion this time of year?
Oh, it's crucial. My Facebook memory pages from 2 years, 5 years, 9 years ago, all our shelf ice, and sometimes it would be go out for miles and miles. And the storms that are normal this time of year, would the waves would beat up the ice and not the shoreline. And so it's very crucial for the protection of the shore, and there's none this year.
How much beach is left?
Well, so it depends on where you're talking. So down by Kimmel Road, there's still beach and Dune State Park and West Beach. But Beverly Shores, the town from Derby Ditch, from like the Century of Progress homes all the way to Michigan City, the beaches are pretty much gone. When the wind is out of the south, there's enough there that you can walk on, I guess, in some places. But mostly it's just cliffs.
And there's a road that runs through Beverly Shores that's in a particular amount of jeopardy right now. What road is this?
That's Lakefront Drive. It's the road the only road that you can drive along and look at the lake, because there's no houses on the other side anymore except for the two Century of Progress homes. And so we get a lot of visitors, and they all want to drive down and look at the lake. And now they're having to turn around at the west end and the east end. They're restricted.
So what's at stake if this road were to be swallowed?
So there's a lot of things. One is the access to the national park land that's there, because the national park basically owns all of the lakeside of that road. The town has a few slices of it, but it's basically all the national park. So access to there, beaches or their water and their facilities. There's a bathroom and picnic shelters there that you can get to one way, but that parking lot is in jeopardy. And more importantly is the road itself for emergencies. There's houses on the other side, access to those, and underneath the road is water and gas lines. And natural gas lines. And so we've been talking since December with the water company and the NIPSCO, the power company up here, for making emergency plans and being on the ready for if the road goes in. And unfortunately, maybe when the road goes in, and if those gas lines break, what do they do? And so we've been talking about preparations with them since December.
Has Beverly Shores experienced erosion like this before?
We are the poster child of erosion. The Beverly Shores was built here in the 30s, and in the 20s, Michigan City added to their break wall, their big structure for Trail Creek. And when they did that, many engineers told the Army Corps that in 40 years, Beverly Shores would fall into the lake. And so it did. The lake has it acts like a giant conveyor belt of sand coming down the Michigan side towards Gary. And when you put a structure out in the lake, it stops the flow of the sand, and the water has to speed up to get around it and gouges the other side. So it's eroded Mount Baldy, Crescent Dune, Central Avenue Beach, and Beverly Shores. So our road fell into the lake in the 60s on the far east side. It stops, and you can see we've lost a quarter mile of land, beach, foredune, houses, road, all gone. And so the Army Corps came in the 70s and 80s and put rock revetment up to protect the remainder of the road, which is mile and a half plus of road. And that's then been covered up with sand and plants and trees. And now all of those are going into the lake and re-exposing the rock that was put there in the 70s and the 80s.
Carrie Troy, is this just a fact of shorelines? Are they simply just landscapes that change a fair amount, or are these recent changes more extreme than we've seen before?
I guess I would say the lake levels that we're seeing, we have seen higher lake levels like the other two callers have mentioned in 1986. And I think it's natural to expect that when you do have these elevated lake levels, you bring the wave energy much higher up on the beach to the erodible dunes. I do think that there are some sort of background structural issues with the Indiana shoreline related to the supply of sand that we just heard about. So the sand naturally wants to come down from the Michigan shoreline and nourish the beaches of Beverly Shores and Dune Acres. And you have several structures, Ogden Dunes as well. You have several structures along that stretch of beach that catch the sand, and then downdrift of those structures, you see erosion. On ocean coasts, they have these problems as well with large structures impeding the flow of sand along the coast. And oftentimes the solution for that is sand bypassing, which is literally to dredge the sand from one side of the structure and either truck or barge it to the other side of the structure. And I know that's been done from time to time along the Indiana coast, but it's not really, there's no sort of a system to that and no long-term strategy related to that.
How long have these structures been changing the sand flow? I guess we're talking about ArcelorMittal and Burns Harbor and some of those big ones just west of the park.
Yeah, there's Burns Harbor, which is west of Dune Acres. Then you have other structures on the western side of the coastline. I mean, as soon as you put in a large structure like that, you're going to change the flow of sand. So as long as they've been there, they've been altering the sand. As you heard, Beverly Shores in the 60s already experienced some erosion from that.
So what's the answer here? Is there a way to redistribute sand to where it would normally be, kind of like what we talked about in the first segment with dredging it from the lake shore, from the lake bottom and reapplying it to the shore?
Certainly that's the solution they use on the ocean coastlines. I mean, a lot of the beautiful beaches you see in Florida and other places around the world, those beaches are nourished, which is sort of a fancy engineering term for dumping sand on the beach in a sort of a more engineered fashion. And so this is not really a new idea. It's just an idea that we have not really used extensively for our stretch of the coastline. And it isn't something you just want to be doing now and then. It has to be part of sort of a coordinated strategy that's kind of playing out in the background. And, we would see erosion in a time like now when we have these elevated lake levels. But what that does when you have that supply of sand from the sand bypassing is really sort of serves as a buffer for times like this when the lake levels are high. And eventually the hope is when the lake levels return back to normal or below normal, that sand will come back from offshore and rebuild the beaches. But you have to have sort of that background supply of sand in the system.
We're talking to Carrie Troy, Associate Professor of Civil Engineering at Purdue, and Jeff Benson, the president of Beverly Shores Town Council, about erosion along the Lake Michigan shoreline. We have a listener voicemail from Roger in Zionsville who has a comment about public access to the beach. Let's listen to that now.
I'm just curious. I believe the people along the lake, which I think is a treasure, Lake Michigan, are wanting help from the federal government and state, which I'm for. But I find it ironic that many of them don't want any of the public to be able to access the beachfront that I think we all deserve and own. But thank you and have a great day.
Jeff, I've heard that before, and that was the subject of an Indiana State Supreme Court case. What's your comment on that?
So the people that took that to the court are in Long Beach, and the Supreme Court decided that it belongs to all of us, and anybody can use it. In Beverly Shores, the whole lakefront is public. There are parking areas for residents only, but there's also public parking in many lots with the national park. There's Kimmel Road, there's Dunbar, there's Lakeview. There's the campground. So we are not included in that. We welcome the visitors. And One thing I wanted to point out is I've been posting some information on your Facebook page, All in Indiana, and there has never been higher lake levels in Lake Michigan at this time of year. So the last 2 months, and so January and February both broke all-time records for highest lake levels. 1986, July, is the highest ever, and that is projected by the Army Corps to exceed that this year. So we have never been here before this time of year, and without the shelf ice, it makes it even worse. So,
and Jeff, Beverly Shores and a few other towns along the shoreline have declared a state of emergency in response to the current conditions. What does that accomplish?
Well, it allowed us to have, I guess, a lot of emergency town council meetings, and we spent all the money that we had in our coffers from a general obligation bond from several years ago to fix some of the erosion. We worked through Christmas. We worked every day except Christmas Day with a lot of volunteers, and up until we finished it on the first Friday of January, and then we had a big storm the first Saturday. We worked with the National Park trying sandbags to preserve Lakeview, and we've tried that twice. So we flushed $360,000 that we had left of our borrowed bond money, and we also shared our declaration with Ogden Dunes, Portage, Long Beach, and the Porter County declared an emergency. But we've been asking the governor since December to declare an emergency, which would throw a switch that would let us qualify for federal help. We've spoken to the senators, congressmen, everybody, and they're waiting for Governor Holcomb to throw that switch, declaring an emergency. And what his executive order was that it was to collect information and how much damage there is and what does this cost. And so we've been struggling with that. We have 613 permanent residents here from our 2010 census, and no street department, no engineers, no employed engineers with the city or the town. But we're putting together as best we can the numbers of the damage that has happened on the national park property while we're trying to protect our road. So we've been working with the national park. We're about to try to go into deeper debt. We're looking at trying to bond another $5 million. We are in debt. We have two bonds already, but we're trying to go to the maximum to get money to fix some of these erosion problems, because if we don't, our road is falling in, and we will, to replace it will be more than 10 times more expensive than trying to shore it up and keep it, you know, in use.
Carrie, we've got the national park, the local governments, the homeowners, a lot of stakeholders here. When we talk about proposed solutions, what are the different factors that have to be weighed?
Well, I think the one thing to keep in mind is that, a coastline is something that's best managed in a sort of holistic fashion. It's a little bit like a river in that if you do any measures locally, you know, to try to constrain the river, it kind of ends up acting like a snake and goes crazy in other places. But that being said, you have people that are really sort of in crisis mode here, with roads and houses and infrastructure being threatened. I think some combination of short-term measures and obviously a longer-term strategy is really what this calls for. And I think that's going to require a lot of the stakeholders along the lakeshore to get at the same table and kind of talk about this. You know, it is the Indiana shoreline is really a diverse sort of shoreline. You have, you know, beach communities, you have huge industry, you have casinos, harbors, fishermen, beachgoers. It's really a diverse coastline, which makes it really challenging to find sort of one set of measures that can accommodate all those different needs for the shoreline. But I still think it's something that needs to be done.
Carrie, is it possible for these beaches to return to their former state, to rebuild, perhaps?
I think it is. I mean, in terms of the lake levels, which are responsible for a lot of the erosion that we see right now, when we had the maximum levels in 1986, it was only 2 years before the lake levels were again below average. But, you know, the water level can return to normal pretty quickly, but the sand is not going to return to the beaches that quickly. And it's going to take some time. Some of that sand is offshore in sandbars. It will get slowly ratcheted back onto the shore when the lake levels go down. That'll take place over years. Some of the sand is kind of piled up against these various structures like we've talked about, and that may need to be dredged and nourished in different places to kind of speed up the recovery of the beaches. But it is, you know, it is a natural cycle. We have been here before, but, you know, it's working on geological timescales, and it's not going to repair itself overnight.
Carrie Troy is Associate Professor of Civil Engineering at Purdue University. Carrie, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Jeff Benson, President of the Beverly Shores Town Council, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Up next, we'll close the show with a recent conversation I had with Senator Karen Tallien, who represents several of the towns at risk. She'll explain what legislative steps she's pushed for to help aid the area and what further action she would like to see taken. I'm Matt Pelser. We're back with that in 90 seconds. This is All In. This is All In. I'm Matt Pelser. We're back now talking about erosion happening along the Lake Michigan shoreline. Joining us now is State Senator Karen Tallien, who represents Senate District 4, which encompasses portions of Porter and LaPorte counties, both of which are grappling with the issue of erosion right now. Senator Tallien, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Now, we've been talking today about what the lakeshore erosion has looked like, particularly this past winter. What kind of a toll have the past few months taken on communities along the lakeshore in your district?
It's heartbreaking, actually. There doesn't seem to be. So my district has about half of Indiana's shoreline, and there's no beach. There's no beach left. All of our gorgeous, beautiful beaches are just gone. Part of it is due to high lake levels, of course, but part of it is also due to some severe erosion that we have had. And there are a number of things contributing to that. One of them is the fact that we've had a very warm winter. And when it's cold in the winter, ice builds up all along the base, you know, the bottom of the lake, and you get a big ice shelf. And it protects the beach and all of the homes from those major storms and storm events that come rolling down the you know, 300 miles of Lake Michigan. And we haven't had that this year. We have had some major storms. And so each time that we get one of those storms, it just carries off huge amounts of our sand.
Can you outline the major issues that erosion presents to the communities you serve?
Well, you know, yeah, there are several. First of all, well, and not in any particular order of importance, okay? There are houses along the lake. They're now much closer to the lake than they ever used to be. When I first moved to Ogden Dunes, we had, you know, a football field worth of, at least, of beachfront. And so all those homes that have now sheet piling walls are threatened. The other thing is that, you know, when you have communities along the lake, Michigan City and all of them, property values along the whole town are impacted, not just the people who live on the beach, but, you know, a whole town. If we don't have our beach, you know, we may as well be sitting in a farm field somewhere. The beach was a major impetus for, you know, having a really nice community and having steady property values. the third thing is that there, you know, our recreation industry is lost right now. I don't know what it'll be next summer, but between the Indiana Dunes State Park and the what is now the federal national park at the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore, those were two of the highest visited sites in the state of Indiana. You may not, you know, people may not realize that, but it's certainly the highest state park, and the National Lakeshore also contributed to those, to that tourism, you know, industry. So that's been hurt as well.
How long has erosion been an issue that's top of mind along the shore up there in the communities?
Well, that's an interesting question. And it has several parts that go into the answer. So we know, for example, that, and if I can just give you a little lesson in lakeshore dynamics.
Please.
Sand flows, you know, there's a natural replenishment and movement of sand around the beaches. And it moves in kind of a clockwise direction around the lake. So sand keeps moving, you know, and it's replenished. When you put structures into the lake, you know, now you've got a big structure jutting out into the lake. It impedes that literal, it's called the literal drift. And so sand builds up on one side of that and doesn't get around to the downdrift part of that, which means, we know that, for example, the Port of Indiana and some of the industries up along the lake that were built in the late 60s have been causing downdrift shoreline erosion problems for decades. I was in law school 30 years ago and worked on one of the lawsuits that was involved in that. So that's one issue. Then we've got, you know, rising lake levels for a whole number of reasons, which contribute. And that tends to be a little more cyclical, but that's not the whole story. So, yeah, there are a lot of parts to this.
Last year, a legislative committee recommended the state help pay for an Army Corps of Engineers study to look into solutions to the erosion issue. How would this study have aided the area?
Well, so I mentioned the part about the Port of Indiana. We know that we've got a, you know, an issue because of that. And the Army Corps originally did a study that shows that's the cause of some of the downdrift erosion at the Portage Lakefront and at Ogden Dunes Beach. But, you know, the federal government has to do everything incrementally, and everything has to have a study. So the study, part two, is what do we do to fix that problem? So that was what the study, you know, what the Army Corps needed. They need to have a non-federal match. The entire study was going to be about $1.6 million, and we had half of that, $800,000, in the budget as it passed the Senate, and then it got cut out.
And so what happened there?
I don't know, but a lot of programs got cut out, not just the lake issue, but, you know, there were programs all over the state that I think we had some people writing the budget that were a little over conservative on. And then we ended up with a giant surplus. So
have you pushed for other forms of support from the state, and have you had any success whatsoever?
Well, so I mentioned this long term issue about the erosion that's caused by the port. But the second issue is right now we have an emergency because of the combination of warm winter, no ice, and big storms. And, for example, at Beverly Shores, there is a road, Lakeshore Drive, that runs kind of along the beach. And it was being threatened to be washed away. And under that road are all of the water and gas utilities. So we have, Beverly Shores spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, shoring up the area along that side of the road. I asked, well, we had all of the local communities make emergency declarations. I put them all in a package to go to the governor. At first the answer was, no, we can't help you. But as things progressed over the winter, I think they finally became more aware or more convinced that, hey, we really have a serious problem here. We're going to have homes in the lake if we don't do something. And so the governor put out a letter. It's his declaration. He didn't declare an emergency, but he declared that all these communities put together all of their information so that they could send it to FEMA. FEMA has billions of dollars for these kinds of programs. But at least it's on its way. We're a little short on, you know, a little late, but it's in the works now, I hope.
What kinds of solutions have been tried or are currently being tried to curb erosion there?
Well, a couple of things. Like I said, on the long-term issue, you know, on the backside of the port every year or two, so much sand accumulates that the boat, big ships for the, you know, I'm lake shipping, can't get in unless they dredge. And so a couple of years ago, I got a bill through that said, hey, anytime you dredge sand, you have to put it back on a beach. You can't just dump it out in the middle of the lake. It has to come back to the beach. So that's for the long-term dredging projects that we have. But right now, in this emergency situation, people are putting giant riprap and boulders in front of their in front of those steel walls and in front of the dunes to protect them from the, you know, the shore erosion. So that's also going on at the same time.
Who's been paying for these solutions?
Well, the town of Beverly Shores, for example, had some money that they originally had bonded for some other purpose, and they had to use it for this, to shore up the road. In some of the other communities, they're getting some help from the Army Corps of Engineers. And in some of the other communities, the lakefront homeowners are paying for it themselves.
And a lot of local communities have declared a state of emergency in response to this erosion. What does it mean to declare a state of emergency, though, in this situation? Does it just raise awareness of the issue, or does it allow for more action?
No, this is all part of a bureaucratic process of getting money from FEMA. The locals have to say, hey, we've got an emergency, and then they have to turn that into the governor's office. Then the governor's office has to declare an emergency. And then once that's done, then they can, you know, apply to FEMA for help. You know, I'm sorry that the governor hasn't moved faster, but hopefully it's on its way. But no, the emergency declarations are not just a PR thing. They are part of a process to access FEMA money.
Well, the governor did recently issue an executive order, though, to help cities along Lake Michigan experiencing erosion. What does this executive order entail?
Well, that's what I was saying. The executive order tells the communities, look, get all of your, you know, it's like telling the communities, get all of your receipts and damages estimates in order and in down here so that we can then submit them to FEMA. It does not declare an emergency yet. It's one step short of that. But, you know, he's telling the communities, show me your damages, get the documents down here, and then I guess he'll decide what they're going to do.
So is the problem, though, that there aren't enough damages to constitute an emergency situation yet, but what you're really trying to do is prevent a catastrophe?
Well, that, yes, on both of those things. So we don't know what the damages threshold is for FEMA to give money, but, you know, we don't want to wait until Beverly Shores Road has fallen into Lake Michigan, along with all the water and gas lines. We want, you know, what a lot of what we're doing up there is preventative so that we don't have that.
So you have asked the governor for an emergency declaration. I'm trying to get an idea of what that would mean for these communities. How much money? What kind of action?
Well, the how much, if he declared an emergency, then the next thing is you make your submission to FEMA. Now, you know, I'm a state senator. I'm not in the executive branch in the government. I don't know the step by step on how you do that, but I know that I have talked to the Department of Homeland Security in Indiana. They run, you know, all these emergency projects like this, and they told me that, you know, you have to get all this information and then you send it to FEMA. But the governor has to declare an emergency.
Are these communities currently eligible for any federal help?
I'm not sure what kind. I mean, FEMA appears to be the answer. That's the pot of money where the feds help local communities that are experiencing problems like this.
Our neighbors in Illinois and Michigan are also dealing with very similar issues in their lakeside communities. Do we know what their responses have looked like?
Well, I think that in Illinois, they've moved faster than we have. They have made that application to the feds. They did declare an emergency, I believe. And I know that right now in Chicago, they're putting big riprap along the beaches. For the same reasons, or some of the same reasons that we have, no ice and big storms. I'm not sure where Michigan is. I'm not sure whether they have taken the step yet.
They've got considerably. They've got a lot more shoreline.
They've got shoreline on what? Four lakes, four of the five Great Lakes. So yeah, Michigan is the Great Lakes state.
So if you could wave a wand and money was no object, what would be the solution for the communities that you serve?
Well, twofold. First of all, we need an emergency solution right now. And then we need a long-term solution on the question of the sand starvation. So the short-term solution right now appears to be we need to put riprap in there, stabilize the walls and stabilize the beach. Then you backfill with sand, and that will help to stabilize everything. The more long-term solution, like I said, has to do with how you move the sand around those permanent structures like the port. We could either do it by dredging. We can do it by continuous dredging with underwater equipment. There are a number of things that have been discussed.
State Senator Karen Talion, representing several communities along Lake Michigan shoreline. Thank you again for being with us today.
No problem. Glad to do it.
Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Maggie Galon. Scott Cameron's our managing editor. Our show is engineered by Adam Gross. Get our podcast wherever you get podcasts. Tomorrow, we'll spend the hour answering your questions about the coronavirus with the help of an epidemiologist and health officials. We're on Twitter and Facebook at All In Indiana. I'm Matt Pelser. Thanks for listening. This is All In.